What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rovardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the biggest pro day of pro day season took place today, Michigan. They have so many prospects in this upcoming draft class. I think they had 18 prospects in attendance at the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. A lot of standout players, of course. You got the big names. You've got J.J. McCarthy. You've got a guy like Roman Wilson, a wide receiver who should go in the second round. But you also have a lot of depth to this team that's going to make it to the NFL and maybe some hidden gems along the way. So we kind of just want to discuss who the Giants might have been scouting while they were at the pro day for Michigan today. They had a lot of scouts there. They had a lot of assistant coaches there. General manager Joe Shane and head coach Brian Daboll, they didn't make it to the pro day, but they sent assistant general manager Brandon Brown, assistant quarterbacks coach or quarterbacks coach Shea Tierney. A lot of guys were there. I think there was over 150 NFL scouts and coaching personnel in attendance for this pro day. This was a big deal, so we kind of just want to dive into it, talk about who the Giants might have been scouting, who they could target in the draft coming out of Michigan, and all of that kind of good stuff about the Michigan Pro Day. But before we dive into all that, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? And what are your thoughts on the Giants sending so many scouts and coaches to the Michigan Pro Day?
I'm doing pretty good. And look, yeah, a lot of people were at the Michigan Pro Day for obvious reasons. You know, the obvious one is J.J. McCarthy, some really solid players. Aside from him, Roman Wilson, you know, Blake Corum, Junior Colson. We're going to talk about all these guys and, you know, who would be a good fit for the Giants. Now, one narrative that people are saying online is, well, the Giants didn't sign Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to see J.J. McCarthy at his Pro Day. Well, Brandon Brown was there, the assistant GM, and Shea Tierney, the quarterback's coach. The reason that both of them weren't there in terms of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll is because they had dinner with J.J. McCarthy last week, and they had him at the facility. So they've already seen him multiple times and at the combine as well. So there's no reason to see him a third time. I think they've gathered as much information. Anthony, you kind of said that in your tweet, you know, this morning. So I kind of feel like that narrative's overblown. Don't look too much into it. The Giants have all the information they have and they need on J.J. They probably sent Brown, who's a really great scout, and then quarterbacks coach Shea Tierney to get a little bit more information and then look at the other prospects. So, you know, starting out with J.J. McCarthy, we'll kind of breeze through him really quickly. 25 minutes of throwing, had some deep passes, wanted to work on his touch, showcase that he can have those touch passes. And really, I think he only had two misses, according to Matt Miller, the NFL draft scout. He only had two that were like clear-cut misses, but the rest of it, he said, look really smooth, really clean, good arm velocity, good arm talent. So I think that for the most part, the scripted pro day did exactly that. It showcased J.J. McCarthy's strengths and even ironed out some of his weaknesses that may have been a concern for some teams, but a lot different doing it behind no offensive line, no pass rushers in shorts. We've been fooled by the Zach Wilson pro days before, so I think that it's fair to say we don't hold too much stock in these pro days, but looking forward to, you know, talking about some of these other prospects, guys that the Giants may be able to get exponential value on, maybe day two guys. I just kind of wrote about Roman Wilson this morning. Really solid receiver, smaller guy. We have some pro comps for him, the kind of system he could work in if the Giants would be a good fit for him. He's not that big outside X that some people think we need, and for what it's worth, we could need a player like that. Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman, there are those types of players in the draft, but Roman Wilson is not one of those big bodies. He is a physical receiver. He's really fast, good after the catch. But at the end of the day, there are some limitations to his game, Anthony. So, you know, I'll let you get your take on J.J. McCarthy, kind of fly through his portion of it. Not much to get from that we haven't seen already from the combine and obviously just in-season film. But what are your thoughts on him? And then I'll let you get your take on Roman Wilson. You've been doing some research on this morning as well.
Yeah, I like J.J. McCarthy. You guys know how I feel. I think he's a good quarterback. His pro day today, what were you really going to learn that he didn't showcase already? He threw at the combine. He threw with velocity at the combine. He threw 61 miles per hour at the combine, which was top three ever at that event. So we already got all of the boxes checked at the combine for J.J. McCarthy. Today, it was really just about him showcasing some of those skills to more scouts and probably more so about how he conducts himself, who he talks to. I know he had a good quote today talking about how, hey, listen, at the end of the day, I'm entering the NFL with a lot of pressure. People are going to want me to be a franchise quarterback. But he said, this is just a game at the end of the day. I liked that quote. He had a smiley face on the back of his shirt. That's why he said that quote. He was asked about it. Didn't wear a number, wore a smiley face instead. So take from that what you will. But McCarthy, hit all of his throws, and he had a good day at the pro day, which was expected. These things are very scripted. They train for these things. They know who they're throwing to. They know exactly what routes they're throwing the entire time, all of that stuff. So you knew that McCarthy was going to have a good pro day, just like everybody else does at the quarterback position. It's also scripted. But talking about a guy like Roman Wilson, who did some individual drills, ran his 40, did his agility drills, the cone drills, the shuttle drills. Roman Wilson is a really good prospect, and that's the problem, but also the solution with this wide receiver draft class. There's just so much talent. In most classes, you could probably argue that half of these guys who will go in the second round would be first-round draft picks in most classes. Roman Wilson, you could argue that. He's got all the talent. He's a really athletic player. He's fast. He's very agile. And he does a lot of things really well in the receiving game. He's a good route runner. He's sure-handed. He only dropped one pass in 2023. Has really, really good hands. And honestly, he's just a playmaker from the slot. Now, you could argue that maybe the Giants might not be interested in a slot receiver. They've got Wandale Robinson, who's probably going to man their slot. They have a speed guy in Jalin Hyatt, but I still think that there's an element to Roman Wilson's game that might intrigue the Giants. He is physical. He does churn out kind of ugly yards in the passing game, makes a play, runs downfield, breaks a tackle or two, falls forward, that kind of thing. So you mentioned it earlier. You said you have a couple pro comps for him. Alex, I know that you mentioned to me in a text today that you like Golden Tate as a pro comp for him. I like that. I think that makes sense. Golden Tate, he played a lot on the outside, but really did the most of his damage in the NFL in the slot, and had a lot of physicality, sure-handed player, yards after the catch. I see a lot of those similar traits with Roman Wilson. I think he averaged around 4.65 yards after the catch per reception, which is a pretty good number. Not up in the upper echelon of this draft class, but it's a good number. And he's very refined. He's very reliable. And I think that if you're looking for kind of that baseline of what Roman Wilson could be for you, just one of those dependable players, you know, maybe doesn't have the highest ceiling, maybe isn't WR1 material, but as like a secondary option and as a slot receiver who could kind of just be your safety blanket, that's Roman Wilson for me. And I really like that. I love what he put on film in 2023. And I like that he, you know, went to the combine. He aced all of his drills. He had a really high relative athletic score. Did the same thing today at the pro day. This is definitely a player that I think the Giants are interested in, because especially if they do end up with JJ McCarthy at the number 6 pick, which seems to be a possibility, maybe you combine McCarthy with Wilson, keep that kind of connection going at the next level. That could be something really interesting that the Giants consider doing. You know, we were talking about it earlier, Alex, like almost like a Walmart version of the Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Maybe they go JJ McCarthy and Roman Wilson, and you know, that wouldn't be too bad. Those guys had a really great connection, made a lot of plays for Michigan en route to that national championship. So a couple good prospects there. And yeah, I like Roman Wilson. I think that he should definitely be in play with the number 47 overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't be. And, there are players I like a little bit more than him. I like Ladd McConkey more. I think Ladd McConkey has WR1 upside. I don't really see WR1 upside with Roman Wilson, but he could be a high-end WR2. And the Golden Tate comp, to me, a lot of Giants fans will be like, no way, Golden Tate. Like, he sucks. Before he was a Giant, Golden Tate was one of the best receivers in the game. Like, he was unbelievable with Seattle. Absolute dog. I mean, he went up 50. I mean, he was a smaller guy, right? He has kind of a similar size to Roman Wilson, who's 6 foot and 192 pounds. And keep in mind, Wilson's only 22. He's pretty young. He would go, you know, remember Golden Tate? He would go up there and win those 50-50 battles against bigger corners. Like, he was just physical. He was elite positioning of his body to make those catches. And Wilson, I think, has those qualities, has the capabilities to do stuff just like that. A couple of the throws that JJ McCarthy, you know, tossed to him, he had to make contested catches. He had to go and be physical. One of the things that I loved about Roman Wilson the most, he had one drop last season, and that's a 2% drop rate. 67 targets, had one drop. Now, keep in mind, only had 789 yards, but the guy had 12 touchdowns. He was a monster in the red zone. They schemed him open, and he just found ways to get into the end zone, physical at the line, and obviously, you know, really, really solid route runner. But, you know, he's another product of a Michigan offense that really relied heavily on the run game, right? Just like JJ McCarthy, you know, you look at his numbers and say, well, you know, he didn't have that many big time throwing performances over 300 yards. I think he had one performance over 300 yards, so there's obviously a limit to his experience in terms of operating a high octane passing attack. But another person that also gets that con is Roman Wilson, who probably in an LSU offense has like 1,500 yards. You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference between the different schematics there. But I think Wilson has shown he can throw, he can run all the routes. He's a really dangerous receiver in the red zone, which we desperately need more red zone weapons. He knows how to operate there. They put him in motion a lot in Michigan, that running that kind of pro style scheme, and he was open. They schemed him open. Like, watching him, some of the routes that he ran, Anthony, reminded me a lot of Amon-Ra St. Brown, the way the Lions use Amon-Ra, a lot of the route concepts, crossing concepts, you know, dragging him across the line of scrimmage, scheming him open, letting him run after the catch. A lot of it was very reminiscent to me of Amon-Ra St. Brown, but his play style was more like Golden Tate. So I was like, wow, like, you know, this guy could be pretty solid in the right system. And I think the Giants have a system that actually kind of benefits him, you know, attacking the seams, crossing concepts, scheming him open into space. And then you have your outside threats in Darius Slayton and Jalin Hyatt. Look, he's not Malik Nabers. He's not Romo Odunze. He's not Marvin Harrison Jr. He's not Ladd McConkey. He's kind of his own makeup. He has his own style, which I like about him. It's kind of a different, you know, approach to how you want to use a player. And I think that Roman Wilson does have a really bright future in the right system. I could see him being a really great player, like on the Lions, on the Rams, a team that schemes players open and lets them run after the catch. I do like him. He's not afraid to take a hit over the middle either. Dude's tough as nails. So I really appreciate it about him. You were spot on before, by the way, 4.6 yards per after the catch, which is great. He had 221 yards in yak yards, which is really solid. He averaged 16.4 yards per reception. And considering he spent almost 70% of his reps in the slot, that's pretty impressive. But he also had 31% out wide. So he has the ability to be more of a diversified receiver in terms of his alignment. But let's move over to Blake Corum, since we'll stay on the offensive side for a second here. Blake Corum, the running back for Michigan, he's the one that got all the production last year. He had 1,245 rushing yards and 27 touchdowns and 3 fumbles. Why is that concerning? Because he has a stupid amount of workload already on his shoulders. He usually, like, when you look at running backs, you kind of determine if they're going to be long-term assets based on how many carries they've had. Roman Wilson has, like, the carry total of an NFL veteran of, like, 5 years already. So he's entering the NFL with a lot of mileage on his legs and a lot of hits. And he was injured last year. He was injured the year before that. 22 years old. He's 21 years old. No, that's Blake. I'm like, looking at all these other guys. He's 23 years old. I was looking at Roman Wilson and Junior Colson. Blake Corum is 23. Lots of mileage. You have to assume that it's not going to be sustainable to ride him like that again. He's had over 500 carries in his last two combined years. That's concerning to me. He's a fourth round pick at most because of that mileage. I'm more on the Jalen Wright, Trey Benson, Audric Estime kind of path here instead of a Blake Corum. While he's a very solid player, apparently he looks great at the pro day, ran routes really crisp. I just don't know how long he can hold up, and he's a little bit small at 5'8", 213. We saw kind of with smaller guys like Austin Eckler, what happens to them. Austin Eckler's a bodybuilder, dude's massive. I just don't know if Blake Corum's going to hold up at the NFL level for a long time, and I think that's a major risk that teams will probably be looking to avoid.
Yeah, I have some stats on Blake Corum from when I was studying his film a little while ago. One thing that I noticed, or just that I found while researching him, 73 missed tackles forced in 2022. It led everybody in college football. It's an incredible number. That number dropped to 30 in 2023, and that is quite literally the effect of mileage, and that's the effect of how much is he doing, how many carries is he getting. We're talking 676 career carries. That's a ridiculous number for a college running back, especially in comparison to a lot of the other guys in this class. I mean, there are some guys in this class that put a lot on film and are going to go really high, and they only have about 200 carries in their career. So with Blake Corum, 676 career high carries, it is a concern. And also the fact that he had a meniscus and MCL sprain to end his 2022 season, then came back in 2023 and saw his missed tackle rate plummet. It's correlated, and it's correlated to the mileage that he has and how many carries he's taken in his career. So for Blake Corum, very small, undersized guy, but very quick, very agile. He's got good vision. He is a good and experienced runner. There are things to like with him, but there are red flags. His usage, the amount of carries he's had, and his injury history. The injury history isn't too bad. He stayed healthy in 2023, but it's just the fact that he had that knee injury to end his 2022 season, and then in 2023, still great, but the stats show, the analytics, like the deeper data shows that he wasn't the same level of player that he was the season prior to that injury. So definitely some red flags with Blake Corum, but great receiver. And What I'll say, you mentioned some of those other guys, Alex, some of those other running backs. You mentioned like Trey Benson, Jalen Wright. Those guys are going to go too early for the Giants. Like, I think Jalen Wright, running back one, arguably in this class, super fast. He might be a second or a third round pick. The Giants aren't taking a running back in rounds two or three. You know, they've got Devin Singletary. They made it a point of emphasis to go cheaper at this position. And now they're looking for a complimentary back. They're not looking for a guy who they want to develop into a full-time back. You know, they're looking to build this committee. Blake Corum might make sense for the Giants because of that reason. Devin Singletary, not the best receiver. Not really a product out of the backfield in the passing game. Blake Corum, on the other hand, showed at his pro day, put a lot on film. Very good out of the backfield as a receiver. You know who he reminds me of, Alex, and what role I think he could maybe play in the NFL? Size is similar. He's 5'8", 213, built like a brick house, right? Very stocky and short, though. Darren Sproles. Remember when Darren Sproles was like a really good receiving running back? He wasn't the workhorse for the Saints or the Eagles, but he was a good player coming out of the backfield in a running back committee. That's what I see Blake Corum's usage being at the next level. He was a bell cow for Michigan. He's not going to be a bell cow in the NFL level, in my opinion. But playing for a team like the Giants, who have Devin Singletary, Blake Corum might make sense on day three because he might fit in as being that third down receiving back, come out of the backfield and make some plays in the passing game. And also, I think he's a pretty decent pass protector as well. So I think that Blake Corum, there is a lot to like about him from the Giants' perspective. But if you're looking at him as a guy that's going to replicate what he did at Michigan, you're probably not going to get that out of Blake Corum. He's not going to be that bell cow that rushes for 1,000 yards in the NFL, I don't think. But definitely an intriguing prospect for the Giants to consider on day three as a potential committee running back, somebody who fits into a specific role in your offense. So that much I do like about Blake Corum. So I kind of gave some good and some bad there. So another prospect that I do want to mention, Alex, another day three guy, Carson Barnhart. This is a player that the Giants met with today, had a private meeting with him. So did a lot of other teams, though, for what it's worth. I believe, yeah, the Rams and the Ravens met with him on Thursday privately. Then he met with the Seahawks and the Giants today. He has another meeting scheduled, a local pro day with Detroit coming up. So a lot of interest around the league in this offensive lineman, Carson Barnhart. And when you look at his stats and you look at what he did in college, you're not going to be impressed. It's not like he had high Pro Football Focus grades. He did let up 4 sacks and 24 pressures this past season. But there is one trait that he has that teams are going to love, and it's versatility. He's started games, 31 starts in his collegiate career, spread across left tackle, left guard, right guard, and right tackle. Primarily played right tackle in his final season of 2023 and the season prior, but the fact that he started at all four of those positions makes him a valuable day three prospect. He's a guy that you draft on day three, maybe in round six or maybe even seven. He might last that long. Again, he's not exactly the best player, but he's one of those players who has a little bit to develop there and has the ability to be a backup for four of your offensive line spots. There's a lot of value to that. So I like the idea of Carson Barnhart, flyer in the late rounds on day three, Alex. I don't think the Giants have a seventh round pick this year, but if they did, Carson Barnhart would be an interesting selection. He's going to be looked at as a tackle at the next level, but again, 6'5", he's kind of got that in-between size where he could play anywhere on the offensive line and just be a backup depth piece for you. So how do you feel about that? I know we oftentimes talk about these guys that have starter upside when we're talking about draft prospects. This is a draft prospect who's probably drafted to develop into a backup. And I think that, you know, not exactly the most glamorous prospect to discuss here, but something valuable to that, right? Something valuable to a guy who could be a backup for you in four of your five positions on the offensive line. What are your thoughts on the Giants having a private meeting with Carson Barnhart?
Well, I mean, it makes sense. The Giants need offensive line help, and you can never have enough, you know, developmental guys with upside. And he ranked 15th at the NFL Combine in overall athletic performance, which actually was, I guess, the green chart, which is above average. So he has some athletic profile that's not bad. He's a really good size, though. 6'4", 306 pounds. He's a big dude. And, you know, whether it be a bottom of the roster or practice squad addition, you know, he's coming from a winning team. And I think, like, look at what the Philadelphia Eagles have prided themselves on doing, going and getting defenders from the Georgia kind of tree. And they consistently go get, you know, like Kelee Ringo, they consistently go get Georgia players because they win championships and they win big games and they're used to that type of environment. it seems to me the Giants are kind of looking at Michigan right now and saying, we want winners. And Carson Barnhart is a winner by most accounts, and he knows what it takes to win. Is he the best football player in the draft? Absolutely not. Is he the best guard in the draft? Absolutely not. But you never know. You never know. Sometimes you find players who just hit another developmental stride at the next level. They adjust well. They're good people. They bring a lot of versatility, and he certainly does. Worst case scenario, he spends a year on the practice squad, develops. The Giants like what he has. Look, this is my take right now. This is Carmen Brasillo's offensive line now, right? If he likes somebody, the Giants are going to give him a chance to go land somebody he likes in the later rounds. I don't think it's going to be in the first two, maybe not even the first three rounds. But like, Carmen Brasillo, go find that value grab that you can develop, that you like, that seems like has the traits to be a good offensive lineman, and see what you can do with them. For after all, he got maximum value out of freaking Greg Van Roten, who was absolutely horrendous for the Jets. So I kind of feel as though if you are the Giants, you give Brasillo an opportunity to find someone that he likes, that he thinks has developmental traits. Maybe it's Carson Barnhart. Maybe it's someone like this he feels could be a nice versatile piece in the future. So that's kind of my take right now. I think they want to give Brasillo one of those late round picks and say, it's yours. You figure out which player you want. We'll take him for you.
Yeah, I think that Carson Barnhart's just going to be a backup in the NFL, and it's valuable to have good backup offensive linemen. That's like really the bottom line with it. I don't think that there's a whole ton of developmental upside. I don't think Carmen Brasillo is going to oogle over freaking Carson Barnhart here. I just think he's going to say, hey, this is a guy that can play four spots on the offensive line. We have a lot of injuries on the offensive line. He can play left tackle, right tackle, guard, doesn't matter. This is a guy that I would like just to have as insurance and as a backup for four of my five positions. That's probably what Carmen Brasillo's thought is on Carson Barnhart. But let's talk about some of these other prospects that might go earlier in this draft. I want to talk about Chris Jenkins. This is a guy that I do really like. He's an interior defender, short arms, which is a big knock on him. His arms measured in pretty short at the combine. There's a lot of concern as to whether or not he'll be able to gain a leverage against offensive linemen at the next level. However, he's really good. What he did for Michigan, stopping the run was incredible. His run stop rate, I think, is in the 99th percentile according to Pro Football Focus. It's at 12.6%. The guy was constantly plugging run holes and making stops in the running game, and he was winning as a pass rusher. He's not considered to be a great pass rusher. His pass rushing productivity wasn't too good. I think he had four career sacks. But when you watch Chris Jenkins play, if you throw out some film and you take a look at how he plays and kind of his playing style, there's a lot of agility to his game and a lot of quickness that, to me at least, suggests he has really good pass rushing upside. So not coming into the NFL as a good pass rusher, not coming in viewed as a guy who could be a pass rusher on third down for you, but somebody who I think with his agility and his size profile, if he gets into the right system, gets coached by the right guy, and I think Andre Patterson, Giants defensive line coach, could be that guy, there could be something to unlock here with Chris Jenkins that makes him a better pass rusher than what he is right now. So I really like his tools and traits in that regard. And then just what he did, like actual statistics and production, elite run defender in college. Again, there's a little bit of size concerns because of the short arms. Will he be a great run defender at the next level? Who knows? But as a guy who's ranked in the top 100, but in the latter half of the top 100 for most draft boards, if you're talking picking him at 70, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think he's a really interesting prospect for the Giants. And I know, of course, we have a good defensive line, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns. Somebody needs to play alongside Dexter Lawrence, and I'm starting to get concerned as to who that's going to be. The Giants didn't address that at all in free agency. I thought they would have at least brought in some veteran. A'shaun Robinson got a huge contract to go play elsewhere, which was kind of surprising. But then they're kind of banking on sixth-round pick Jordan Riley if they don't add anybody else. And I like Jordan Riley, and we were talking about this, Alex. We both feel pretty highly about Jordan Riley, but there still needs to be some more talent added to the interior of the defensive line, some depth. More than just DJ Davidson and Jordan Riley for me. I think the Giants should be looking to try and find a high upside impact defender on the interior in this draft. And Chris Jenkins, if he is sitting on the board there at 70, or maybe even later if there's really that much concern about his arm length, I like him. I'm pretty sure that he's one of the defensive linemen that has a father who played in the NFL. I think Chris Jenkins Sr. played for the Vikings.
Four Pro Bowls. Chris Jenkins Sr.
Chris Jenkins, Chris Jenkins was really, really good. And this kid's good too, and so I love what he brings to the game. Again, I see a lot of upside in his pass rushing abilities. Again, the productivity wasn't there, or the production wasn't there, but really what he did as a run defender for Michigan, really good prospect, and I think that he's somebody that the Giants would love to have in those middle rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jordan Riley. I think they, there's some developmental upside. So do I. I also like DJ Davidson, low-key. I think he's not terrible either. I think they probably want to keep investing. They were rookies last year, so give him a little bit more time to develop. But Chris Jenkins, adding him to the mix, you certainly can never have enough interior defensive linemen. The Giants have had some injuries. I know DJ Davidson and Jordan Riley both picked up injuries last year. So adding another player to the mix, it can't hurt if they have the availability and they don't necessarily like anybody else on the board at that spot, wherever Chris Jenkins is, if he's available for the Giants. Like you said, a little bit of a concern with his frame, but the guy has a really high motor. You know, they say his hands, you know, he's first to react. He's a smart guy. He reads the field well. So sometimes you can make up for a lack of size with just overall football IQ. And I do believe that Chris Jenkins has that type of, you know, football IQ. But I think he did a pretty good job breaking him down. I don't think there's much more I can add to the mix there. You know, I'll let you get started here on Junior Colson. I know that's someone that you've also had an eye on. 21 years old, linebacker. The Giants only have really Micah McFadden alongside Bobby Okereke, so I feel like they might want to add another linebacker to the mix here, and maybe Colson could be one of those players that does end up right in the Giants' laps. They had a, you know, of course, Michigan had one of the top defenses, if not the top defense in college football last season. Colson played a really big role with 68 tackles, only a 4.7% missed tackle rate, and he was also really freaking good in coverage. I would love to add a player like this. I'm not necessarily sure where he's going to go. He might even be, I don't know if, maybe you have more insight into where you think he'll be projected to go than I do, but Colson's a really solid player, and pairing him with Okereke, having a position battle between him and Micah McFadden might be a really good scenario for the Giants.
Yeah, Junior Colson's a guy I don't think makes it to day three. He's a day two player, probably late second round, somewhere in the third round. But a player that I do like, you mentioned it, really good against the run, solid in coverage as well. There are some questions about his overall athleticism and how it's going to translate to the next level. But he's really looked at as like a 4-3 linebacker, someone who can kind of play off ball, maybe as an outside linebacker. And I'm still curious to see what Shane Bowen's planning for this defense. There doesn't seem to be a clear direction. All that we heard from Joe Shane was, we are going to play more zone and blitz less. But we still don't know, is this a 3-4 front? Is this a 4-3 front? Because, yeah, they ran a multiple defense in Tennessee, but again, that was really constructed by Mike Vrabel. So is it going to be more 3-4, more 4-3? Is it really going to be a hybrid? I'm not sure. I just know there's going to be a lot of nickel and dime packages, which means you want some linebackers who can cover. You want Bobby Okereke's on the field. You might want a guy like a Junior Colson on the field. Even though he doesn't bring a ton of athleticism, he does bring some really sound technique, and his missed tackle rate was 4.7%. He was really good against the run, 22 run stops, which ranked pretty highly according to PFF as well. This is a player that I think has some very solid traits, and also considering how good Michigan's defense was this past season, and this was the guy in the middle of the defense, the architect of the defense from the player's standpoint, I think that's something to be excited about. It tells you that there's good leadership there, good communication, and pre-snap diagnosing from a guy like Junior Colson. So I think that this is a really high IQ football player, a good run defender, and somebody who could develop into being a full-time starter at the next level, even as a day two pick. So I don't know if the Giants go that route, because I still think there's a chance that they bring back Isaiah Simmons. I know that they love Micah McFadden. I do too. I love what he brings to the field, and I think he's still growing. And obviously they have Bobby Okereke. But behind McFadden, without Simmons on this roster, there is a need there for more linebacker depth. So if he's available in round three, again, kind of similar to Chris Jenkins, if he falls that far, I could see Junior Colson being a target. But I'm not entirely sure where he's going to go, just because it's a thin linebacker class this year. Some of these guys might go higher than expected. Some of them might go further down the list than expected. It's always a little bit funny when a certain position is very thin. You kind of can't project where those guys are going to go. Sometimes teams reach. Sometimes teams say, I'm just going to avoid the position group altogether. So we'll see where Junior Colson lands. But again, he's got plenty of starting experience, really good run defender, and has some traits that tell you, especially in his football IQ, he could be a pretty damn good NFL player and a pretty good pass coverage linebacker as well. So I like what you could see in Junior Colson and on his film. But the last prospect that I really want to dive into, Alex, is Mike Sainristal. He's a slot cornerback converted from wide receiver, and in fact, at the pro day today, he actually took some snaps at wide receiver. They had him training, cross-training at both of those positions, which I think is pretty exciting. This is a guy who's viewed as a day two pick as well, probably going in the second round, high-value nickel cornerback. So this is kind of one of those players who has a lot of versatility. I've even seen that some think that he could transition to safety at the next level. So I don't know where this guy is playing. Is he playing wide receiver? Is he playing corner? Is he playing safety? I don't know. Maybe he does it all. Maybe he's a two-way player. Totally possible. But I think those kind of players are good just because overall, you know what you're getting as a good football player and a good athlete. Maybe right now you don't know where he's going to be good and you don't know where he's going to play, but you know you're getting a good football player. And I think there's a lot of value in getting a guy who's just good at something and good at certain things, right? So this guy, you know, zone coverage cornerback, Mike Sainristal, 5'10", 182 pounds, a lot of versatility, and a player who doesn't miss a whole lot of tackles, very competitive, maybe not the fastest guy in the world, but playing in a zone coverage out of the nickel, I think he's a really good player. And again, as I mentioned, don't exactly know what Shane Bowen's defense is going to look like, but we do know he's going to run more nickel coverage, more dime personnel packages, stuff like that. So Giants need to add more defensive backs to this roster. This doesn't solve, if they were to draft Sainristal, it doesn't solve their need at CB2, but again, it adds more depth to this coverage unit and gives them a really solid option in the slot. So what is your reaction to that? Kind of just the thoughts, the analysis there, and if you have any of your own thoughts on Mike Sainristal, and I also want to hear your take on the possibility of him playing two ways.
Yeah, I mean, Sainristal, look, you're not going to draft him to probably start him immediately. He's 23 years old. So he's a little bit older of a prospect, but, you know, he has played 2 years starting on defense. Actually, 2022 numbers were arguably even better than his numbers last season. So kind of an interesting development there. Gave up 412 yards last year with four touchdowns, six interceptions, and six pass breakups. The Giants need a slot corner. I mean, they brought back Darnay Holmes on a one-year deal. They have Cordell Flott. But I think that right now, at least until they sign a veteran, it's the Nick McCloud, Cordell Flott, and Trey Hawkins position battle until they get a veteran, which I think will end up happening. Their slot options remain Cordell Flott and Darnay Holmes, and it's not that encouraging. I'm not really like sitting here like we're good in the secondary. We're far from good in the secondary. In fact, we have major needs in the secondary. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants spent a second or a third round pick on a defensive back. And, you know, Mike Sainristal, probably a mid-round pick, day three kind of guy. I just, unless he falls to them at a very favorable spot, I don't think they're going to overspend a piece of draft capital on him, but not a bad player. He's, like I said, a little bit older. I think he is solid, had some really, really good games against Iowa specifically on their way to the championship game in the first round of the playoffs. He had a really, really good game, gave up two receptions for only 6 yards. So he has stepped up in some big performances. He really was solid throughout the entire playoffs. Gave up 68 yards on 7 receptions against Washington in the championship game, but, you know, they were basically just forcing Penix to throw it up there. I'm not surprised there were, you know, a couple throws that were completed. It was really a tough game for them, you know, in terms of getting anything going. So Michigan's defense completely dominated. Like I said, probably not a guy you're going to draft to start immediately, but if you could develop him over the course of a season, maybe he turns into a two-way player. Maybe he does have that ranginess. He's 5'10", 182 pounds. Did have a 14.3% missed tackle rate last year. Not that big of a deal from a cornerback perspective. But as a safety, I am a little bit concerned about replacing Xavier McKinney with a guy. I don't think you're replacing him. You're probably just cross-training him, as you mentioned. It's not like you're drafting him to be a safety on day one. You're cross-training him, seeing if he can develop there over time. But yeah, like maybe in terms of versatility, he's not a bad selection. I think there are a couple other players like Kalen Bullock, people I'd be looking more so towards, you know, maybe I know it's
you
not
gotta
the
stop
same
bringing
draft
up Kalen Bullock. Kalen you Bullock like is the worst tackler in the world. He is like thin as a twig. He only does coverage. Sainristal should be a day two pick consideration for the Giants, a round two pick consideration for the Giants. I think he could be a day one starter and actually fix their slot cornerback problem pretty quickly.
Maybe he definitely could. I don't know. The Giants haven't had a good slot cornerback situation in a very, very, very long time. So I wouldn't be opposed to giving the defense a little bit of a boost there. But a day two pick, I feel like you could get better value maybe in the second round you get better value. And in the third round, maybe you could make an argument to take in there.
If he slides that far, yes. But I'm not sure that he will. I think, again, a lot of teams are going to look at his upside and developmental traits and take him pretty early, especially because he can start for you right away in the slot and then develop into something more. And, you know, could you get more value with your round two pick? Probably, because the Giants have greater needs than slot cornerback, but slot cornerback is a need. But obviously wide receiver is a greater need, and the value of the wide receivers in this class in the round two is higher than that of the slot cornerbacks like a Mike Sainristal. So yeah, I think that's the argument that I would make, if you were against Sainristal in round two, is like the receivers that are going to be on the board are just going to be better prospects overall. But Sainristal is a really good player, man. I think like he had 6 interceptions last year. That's a lot. He's a ball hawk. He gets his hands on the football. That's one of the reasons the Giants drafted Dane Belton a couple seasons ago. He had like 6 interceptions his final year in college or something like that. And look at how that's turned out. I mean, he's already gotten a ridiculous amount of picks and fumble recovery so far. Like some of those guys that just have a nose for the football, it sticks with them, and they have a nose for the football at the NFL level. And maybe Sainristal is one of those players. He's gotten his hands on the ball quite a bit, and he's made a lot of big plays at the collegiate level. And I think that one point that you can make, Alex, and I think this would be my closing point on these Michigan prospects in general, if you want to get players on the defensive side of the ball who are probably good, take them out of that Michigan defense. That defense was so stacked. It was, like, incredible. So if you want to just try and get a guy who's good on defense, take someone from Michigan. Odds are that they are probably a good player since they were playing on such a good defense. So I think that's, like, my overall final take on Michigan prospects in general, is just if you want a good player, Michigan was such a damn good football team this past year, you're probably getting a good football player out of one of their prospects if you draft them.
Yeah, I would not, like I said about the Eagles in Georgia, they just basically use them as a pipeline for good talent. Like, that's exactly what, if I'm the Giants, you're going to look for winning football teams, winning programs with guys that are coming from a pro-style offense, defense, whatever you want. Michigan has it, you know. Of course, there's a reason that Harbaugh just went to the Chargers. He ran that type of system. He knows what it takes to win. They know what good coaching looks like. So, you know, Junior Colson, I honestly, if I was to put a bet on right now, if the Giants were going to go with one of those Michigan defensive players, Colson makes a lot of sense. But again, I think they have a lot of faith in McFadden to take a step forward next season. I think McFadden's a pretty good player. He showed nice signs of growth last year. I think there were opportunities that he missed, lots of missed tackles. And the reason that he has a lot of missed tackles is he's so reactionary. He's really good at shooting those gaps, really good at getting into the backfield. I think he's actually just missing them by a split second some of these times. He's just like a tad, like a hair too late. But he's a really good reactionary football player, and I think he's going to take a nice step forward in year three for this Giants defense. So maybe we don't necessarily need a linebacker, but we certainly do need secondary help. So, you know, Sainristal definitely could be an asset for us. The Giants need support there. And they're definitely going to look, I think they're definitely going to spend at least a mid-round pick on a defensive back to help support, whether it be the cornerback position group or the safeties.
Yeah, I really like Micah McFadden, and I think he's already locked in as a starting player for the New York Giants in their linebacker core. He showed a lot last year. I mean, he did have a lot of missed tackles. 25 is a pretty staggering number. He missed 20% of his tackles. Like, that's a pretty big number. It's actually, like, funny. 25 missed tackles. I don't think I've ever seen a number that high when looking on PFF. That's a lot, but I love Micah McFadden. I think the way that he plays and what he brings to the defense, and he's still growing. It was only his second season. I thought he took a big step compared to his rookie year. I thought he was pretty bad as a rookie, showed some flashes, really built on that stuff in year two. And I think that now playing in a defense that's a little bit less aggressive and isn't going to ask him to just shoot gaps and miss tackles all the time with Shane Bowen, I think that we could see a pretty good product here from Micah McFadden this season. But yeah, all those Michigan prospects that we mentioned, we're just scratching the surface. There are 18 guys who went to the combine. We probably talked about, what did we talk about, like 6 or 7 Michigan players in this episode. So those are just some of the guys. If the Giants draft a Michigan player that we didn't mention, don't be shocked, because there are so damn many of them. But these are guys that I would keep on the radar. The Giants have shown a lot of interest in Michigan prospects, as most teams have. And again, because there's so many prospects in this draft, there's a great likelihood that they take a Wolverine next month. So we're going to keep updating you guys on the Giants' interest in certain prospects from Michigan, from anywhere else. I know FSU is also having their pro day today. I wonder if the Giants maybe sent somebody over there to scout Keon Coleman, a wide receiver that I think could make sense for them with pick 47 if he falls that far. But yeah, it's pro day season. There's going to be a lot of prospects to talk about and in the news, and we'll continue to update you on all the Giants' interests and rumors surrounding them, and of course any other news about the New York Giants right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we will catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.